Hello, everyone. Tracy here, your resident business rebel, and you're listening to Digital Business Your Way podcast, the show that lets true stories and insider secrets of online entrepreneur life unfold. Our business world is growing, and as an online business coach and digital product creator, I believe you didn't become an entrepreneur to grin and bear your way through business. So I'll be your guide as we drop in on coaching calls, have intimate sit-downs with online personalities you love, and discuss ideas, opportunities, and strategies circulating our online world. So pop in your earbuds, tap follow, and join me as I demystify this thing called business. Hello, hello, and welcome to another one of my favorite editions, the Ask Me Anything episodes, where I get to answer real questions from you, the brilliant humans building businesses your way. If you've got a question floating around in that lovely brain of yours, drop it into the AMA box linked in the show notes, and I will be happy to answer it myself or bring it up with one of my amazing business friends. You can share your name if you want to be notified when yours is answered, or you can stay anonymous. Feel free to let us know whatever you got going on. Either way, I've got you. So let's dive in. And we have three questions for today. The first one, I'll let you know up front, it came from a retreat that I was at recently. So it's a little bit different, but it's a question I've answered before in a video. And since it's still, you know, floating around with people, I was like, let's bring it up on this week's AMA as well. So it's, do webinars work for high ticket offers? So at this mastermind retreat, we were sitting at a high ticket package table and someone asked, do webinars ever really work for what we're selling? She said she still sees people using webinars and wondered if, like, is she missing something? You know, because she doesn't think they're effective. She doesn't like them, but yet they're still being touted. So what's the trick here, right? And people were sharing their thoughts and they had like wonderful opinions and ideas and different ways of doing things. But whenever it came to my turn, I asked her and everybody at the table, what do you think of when you think of a webinar? Because whether or not they work, it really depends on what you mean by using the word, right? Because anytime we use these words, we're setting expectations for ourselves, for our team, and for our audience. So if by webinar, we mean one of those overstuffed, lifeless slide presentations, you know, the one where the first 5 to 15 minutes is really just a resume monologue, then the next 40 is a glorified bullet points of what you promised to teach, but not really. And you're not really useful because the people could just be like reading the slides instead of listening, right? We've all sat through those, you know, only for the last 30 to actually be the offer pitch for the next thing with, of course, a side of guilt, gaslighting, if you follow the script verbatim. Well, then no, those don't work, right? They're definitely not going to work in a high ticket setting. And if you work with like seasoned and established entrepreneurs like I do, and like a lot of the other women do that were at the table. And honestly, I mean, if you really think about these launches in totality, they never really worked for anything. I mean, people can read their own slides. You know, they know when people are feeling shifty or stalling or pretending to be live and they're not. But like, we use this data of them converting because it's the opportunity that people have to buy something, right? Because that's what it means. It means that somebody went from a non-buyer to a buyer, therefore it converted to a sale. But a lot of times, especially in a trad way of launching, this was the people's first opportunity to buy. So they sat through the two-hour thing that they had already talked themselves into just to finally get the mother-loving buy link. So then when the seller sees the buyers coming in off the back of webinar or any other presentation style that they want to call it, they're like, oh my God, this worked. Look at this. It worked. People stayed to the end and they clicked the buy link. But what was actually working was knowing and liking you, The emails they saw ahead of time, the social posts, every single bit of pre-launch nurturing material that happened, right? The webinar was just the opportunity for the credit cards to finally come out. It is definitely an opportunity to lose people whenever there's a disconnect and they're not getting what they're expecting and for trust to fall apart. But a lot of times when you ask your buyers, when did you decide? There will be probably a 0.5% that had that final decision on this traditional style webinar that I described earlier. But unless you're doing things a bit differently, then most of the time they would have already decided because they talked themselves into it during some of your pre-launch stuff, which sidebar, that's why that's so important. Now, on the other hand, if you think of a webinar as just a container, right? A piece of jargon, it's just a label. When really this is an opportunity for you to create a space where you come live with your humans, where you share something meaningful, you walk people through your process, you give them a sense of what it's like to actually work with you, you can show them your framework or the steps, the kind of things that it takes if they wanted to do it on their own, right? Those kinds of pieces, then we're really talking, right? Because now they get to imagine what it's like to actually be in it with you and what it's like to actually, like, you know, figure it out on their own. Because it's not just that sales pitch anymore. It's you helping your audience truly understand what's possible, what's involved, while doing it with you changes things. Because they're very capable, they're very clever. There's going to be at least one, if not dozens of other people they could do it with. But here's their chance to fall in love with your process, your potential, the idea of you two coming together to make this masterpiece, right? It's not just a sales pitch on overstuffed slides they could have read alone. It's the connection. It's your leadership. So whether you're selling coaching, done-for-you services, consulting, any high-touch program, they need to understand that this terrain before they can say yes to that journey, right? And what can classically be labeled as a webinar, it really can do that. That can be the right vehicle for it. So the twist is that the webinar, the workshop, the info session, the open house, the sneak peek, whatever you want to call it, it's just understanding that all of these are just, you know, they're labels. It's jargon. It's shorthand. It can be nothing more. It doesn't have to be set in stone boxes that you are blocking yourself into. You get to define what goes inside of this container and stripping out anything that doesn't fit to replace it with what does. And then making sure that the understanding and expectations are clear for you, your team, and the humans you're inviting, right? When you do that, you're not just delivering a webinar. You're delivering an experience that makes your offer feel like, oh my God, like, yes, this is the community that I belong in. This is the place that I want to go for this. So yeah, absolutely. It can work if you make it yours, right? And if you really let your offer and your humans take that stage. So if you've done this, if you've like really been able to reimagine a version for yourself, let me know. Like, I love hearing it. I love whenever I hear people go, yes, yes, I've done this. And it's done so well. And I also love, you know, hearing people say, you know, thank you for the permission. And it relieves so much pressure, right? And hey, if you disagree, tell me that too. I want to hear all of these beautiful things, because this is one of my favorite things to go through with people in your launch style and in a reset session, because a lot comes out of this. And often the kind of stuff that like you want to do and you wish you could, or like makes you giggle and you're like, oh, I shouldn't even tell anybody this. Those are those magic key ingredients that really, really help your sales just take off. So I want to know what are yours and how do you feel about that one? And we will move on to question number two, which was brought to us by the lovely Paulina. Hello. Hello, Paulina. And I appreciate this question and this vulnerable moment that you shared where you said, I've been at this a while, and no matter what I do, no matter how long I try things, how long I repeat things, I feel like I just keep bending myself to fit into my business, but it's never enough. And as I answer this, I would like for you to kind of imagine a space with me. Think about if in your house you had this long connecting hallway that started at the front door and ended as your bedroom. And you had to take this hallway anytime you wanted to leave and go to your bedroom, but it also connected the other bedrooms, the living room, the dining room, the guest bathroom, you know, all the places, right? This was the primary passageway to connect you to your entire house. But while you had to walk through this hallway multiple times a day, before you ever even got from your bedroom to the very first threshold, you had to step a little bit to the left to move around a chair. And then you go through a little bit more, and then, oh, there's another chair. And you had to step around to the right and go around this chair before you could keep going and before you ever even made it to the door. And you did this multiple times a day just to be able to get around anywhere. And you're at this point where honestly, you don't remember why the chairs are there. You have zero clue what their purpose is. It's just kind of automatic. It doesn't matter if you're going to bed, if you are chasing the kids around, if you have guests, if you've got a laundry basket, the dogs running around, doesn't matter. Every day, same thing. Down the hallway, whoop, scoot around to the left. Down the hallway some more, whoop, scoot around to the right. You just weave around these chairs that are in your hallway, right? Never once stopping to think, why don't I just move these chairs? And we do this all the time. We duck under a shelf. We angle our body in a weird way to squeeze between some furniture. We move our arm at like this very, you know, uncomfortable for a long period of time angle in order to hit our trackpad just right. Or in what we think is like a way to rest our wrist before our keyboard, only for like after a while, our tiny little pinky fingers to start to hurt. And I mean, honestly, it's not just our home we do this in. We do this in our business. We contort our schedules instead of adjusting our offers. We shrink our capacity instead of questioning the launch model. We convince ourselves it's us that needs to change. Not the business model. Now here's the truth. You can move the object. It's not the human that has to move. You get to notice when something isn't working. You get to ask, what am I bending around now that doesn't even need to be there? And guess what? You don't have to remember why. That's the key part. You don't have to like rack your brain and go, oh, if I could just remember what was the purpose of this or why were we doing this the first time? It doesn't matter anymore. Because if you end up needing that chair in the middle of the hallway for some reason that you can't even remember right now, but for whatever reason, it actually does end up being important, then you can put something that's more fitting and more appropriate in its place once you do realize why it was there, right? You can put a different software, a different system, a different offer, a different anything in its place once you do realize what's there. But for now, we can move things. No more having to bend around and contort something that doesn't even need to be there to start with. So how do we start, right? Because it can sound grand and hopeful and light. And obviously it's easier to notice a chair in a hallway than it is to notice any of the hundreds of other things that we're contorting around. This is where I always like to mention the observe, analyze, and act, right? So we have to observe first. What are these little things that are annoying us? And this can include our team. It can include anybody we bring on for projects. You know, we want to like really ask those around us, okay? What else is there? What is draining you? What is draining the offer? What is making things feel hard to sell and to get out the door? Where do you feel like you're compromising? Where do you feel like you're making alterations without questioning it? So this is our chance to really turn on those little detective skills, you know, to start in the positive way over noticing everything. We're not judging. We're just like really turning on our sight to see it all. Then we move into analyzing after observing. So is this a me issue? Is it a setup issue? Is it a, we scrapped it together at one point, but now there's probably something different? Is it a, oh yeah, that was the tech we needed back then? What do you mean there's 15 options now, right? You know, I have a new assistant now, and I was explaining, gosh, I don't even remember. I was explaining something to her, and I was like, oh yeah, I got that in like 2022. I was like, we don't even need that anymore, do we? Like, we don't think about it, right? Until it's brought back to our attention. So we have to ask, would this feel different if even just one element shifted? Not the whole thing, right? We look at our micro actions and then we start to act. So what small move can you make to support yourself instead of inadvertently working against yourself? And this can mean physically, you know, even back to the hallway, even if you're not ready to completely clear the chair out of the hallway, what if you just moved it against the wall and you tried walking down the hallway, right? Move the first chair, then move the second chair on different days just to see what would happen. And then after they've, you know, set up against the wall for a while, stack them. And then after they've been stacked, you know, move them into a closet, right? We can make these little shifts versus an all or nothing situation, right? Because often those grandiose actions, they send us into too much of a shock. And then we're just kind of like, oh, that it was too big of a shift. And even if we aren't conscious of that, we sense it. And it feels off. It doesn't feel right. Right. And we want to avoid that. So we're going to do things in small movements that feel safer, little bit at a time. All right. It sounds simple, but oh my gosh, it's wildly powerful and freeing. The more you contort yourself, the less of you is actually left in the business. And the less your humans that you want to connect with, the less they can actually feel you. And the more exhausted you become. And you feel like you don't have a lot to show for it. Right. And that's that resentment and that second guessing and the where did the passion go and what's happening? So let's take this as the reminder. You don't have to be the flexible piece. You get to be the unshakable foundation. And let's start moving the things around you so they get to fit you instead of you having to fit everything. Okay? And let me know, just what's the one thing that you're done bending around? What's that one piece that you're going to start with? All right, Paulina, can't wait to hear from you. And then our lovely third question. This one, I'll preface it and be like, okay, it's a little tender, but I love that you asked. So Valerie, how did you keep your business going while navigating health issues? So I said it was tender. I mean, all of you know I'm not one that talks about myself all the time, but it's also because I'm still in the middle of this. I'm still figuring it out, you know. So like everything, it's an evolution. But I will tell you what I've been doing so far, right? So when I had to come kind of like face to face with the situation at the end of the spring, the beginning of the summer, it was interesting because I was just coming off the grander launch for your launch styles. And I always love the meta of that, the launch for your launch styles. I was loving it. It was so much fun. It was so much fun to have the mini series come out and all the people I was collaborating with, the guesting I was doing and their programs talking about it. It felt fun to not just do that program in like a one-to-one setting, but to actually have it open for people, you know, like for like a whole bunch at once. And me being me, I didn't want it to be an open close kind of program. I wanted to keep it unrolling in mission because, I mean, you all know listening, it's like when you need help with a launch, you need it now. You know, it sounds all grand to be 6 months, a year out, but it's like, no, I need this right now. So that was the idea of it. And it was like, well, actually, I can only take this one cohort and then I'm going to have to pause it, which sneak peek, you heard it here first. What wasn't planning on this part? January. It's going to be open again. But I knew, especially like with all the work and all the things that were going on, that I didn't want to bulldoze my way through this season. But at the same time, I didn't want to just disappear in hermit like I've done before. So it was more like, what do I want this to look like? I was like, I need it, not just want it, but I need this to be a season of restoration, but also of stabilization. You know, I love me a sustainable business, right? So let's focus on the stability that can be here instead of growing, instead of scaling, instead of creation. Let's stabilize what's here. So I didn't feel like I had to disappear, but at the same time, I didn't feel like I had to push through anything. And so for me, I was like, well, what areas does that need to be in? And, you know, again, it can be completely different for you. No judgment, just happy to answer this question and share what they were for me. But I hope it's just an inspiration versus, like a prescription of what you have to do. Yeah. So I picked three, health, home, and business. And for me, that was enough. I also wanted to see how it would be after like 3 months, and it ended up being more like 5-6. So it looked like for health, it was that daily rhythm of like food and supplements, you know, right for my situation. Again, yours can be different. Gentle movement, which for me was more like hiking and strength training and stretching, but not the HIIT and, any of the more rigorous things that I find classically, I find more entertaining. And sleep rhythm. I'm not one for an alarm clock. You know, I always joke and say, nature is quiet in the morning. So why on earth are humans making noise, right? You'll find me more often at night than in the morning. But, you know, I made sure, like, I have an Aura ring. So I made sure that like my deep sleep and my REM and all that was tracking in the right direction, right? So, and that leads to the fourth part, is just monitoring what was going on and strictly monitoring. There was no judgment. Nothing was good. Nothing was bad. It was just awareness. And that was definitely the stretch where it's like, I wasn't even trying to watch trends in the sense of, oh, things are looking better, or, oh no, I got to watch this. It was just more that allowing the notice. Right. And then in the second part, home, it just moved into this house a year ago. And it's, I love it. It's a mid-century modern, 70 years old, and it needs, you know, the help that 70-year-old house does. Right. But it needed to be like a small focus at a time versus like all the projects that I want to do. And I needed to bring people in instead of doing a lot of them myself, because I find that fun. But I didn't have the capacity. So it was like, what's this, the small focus? And instead of it being like per week, it was more like per month, you know, and what am I like cleaning or beautifying or like straight up like resetting? And the resetting was like my word for the bigger things, like researching a project that to bring in contractors for, or fixing like the organization elements, you know, that were brought in, those kinds of things. And then like little 15-minute tasks that are light, no pressure, but help me feel like I was moving forward. So whether that was like cleaning a little section or unpacking a box, those little pieces. And then for the third part, business. So business sustainment. So I paired everything back, and it was the podcast and my reset sessions. In the reset sessions, I love doing those, but those are like those SOS moments. You know, it's when you need that very dialed in, focused time with me. It's an hour together and then 3 days of follow-up. You know, it's like, you know what you're doing, but you need somebody to work with for this time. It's not big coaching. It's just this very laser time together. And I can hold capacity for that. So unless, you know, we already had like a longer term commitment as an existing one-on-one, I wasn't taking any new one-on-ones. And then again, the group programs, as they were closing, I wasn't redoing any of those. And it was interesting as I was talking about this at that mastermind retreat, people were like, but I thought, you know, the group programs were easier. And yes, they were. That was only said by people who didn't have them. Those of us who did, we kind of chuckled because, you know, that's how they're sold, right? But it's not the case because you have to be able to hold that container, right? If you're having any sort of interaction with the humans. So for me, mine all include some sort of live element. Like even if it's async, it's like, give me the questions and I'm answering them, right? I'm guiding in some sense. And for myself, again, does not have to be for everybody, but for me, it's lighter for me to hold the details and the way my mind works of like less than five businesses at a time than it is like 20 plus, right? So group out, reset sessions in, and then let the one-on-ones teeter out as our time was naturally coming to a close, right? Which again, you know, it as these things are seeming to become better, as this year ends, then I'm feel like, you know, I can open some of these back up. So I've got a application only one-on-one open. The reset sessions are still going strong. Podcast, yes, hello, here you are. Emails will start back up again. And group, you know, so your launch style is going to open again in January. And then probably one or two of the other ones. But just as I pared down, I'm going to pare back up intentionally. And one thing at a time, doing like constant capacity checks, right? So I don't turn everything off at once. I don't turn everything on at once, right? I kind of like go like drip by drip, yeah? And then the second part is one light visibility action a week. So for me, again, the light movement for me might not be for you, but for me, it's guest speaking, guest podcasting, paid coaching, light travel. Those kinds of things that are simple for me, where even if it's in the same category, if the thing feels heavy, I don't do it, right? So each thing is on a case-by-case basis. And something new that I added this time around that I was exposed to that I love so much, thank you, Andrea, was to track compounding wins. So a message from a listener, I love getting those from you guys, send more. A surprise sale at my favorite place, you know, a good feeling moment, the kind that just like makes you breathe real deep in, right, all the way into your ribs. And you just can just like feel the sun, even if you're inside your house and just kind of those kinds of things, you know, that you can like recreate at any point. It's not about perfection. It's about having a map when that fog really hits. Right? When those moments where you're just like, is this ever going to end? What's going to happen? Another call with the doctor, another news. Who am I going to talk to? Who am I not? You know, all those kinds of pieces, right? Especially for myself, I'm someone who's more private and I don't talk to a lot of people about these things. So that means a lot more things are kind of internally weighted, right? But when you're in that, I don't know what to do moment, it's not about having another master plan that feels heavy in and of itself. You just need that one anchor, the one place to land in the moment, in the day, which is beautiful and how the whole idea of reset sessions came about. And then this was like, you know, gifting that to myself in a holistic way too. So that is how I kept going. It was stabilizing, you know, not scaling, not growing, not trying to think about any of this, because we spend so much time in this industry glorifying stage four, the scale, but stabilizing, which is stage three, that's where that longevity is built. You know, that's sustainability. And you're allowed to flow between them. You're allowed to cycle back and allowed to pause. Because business is not just about consistent upward momentum. It's about what you're building that can actually hold you. So if you are in a season like this, set yourself some anchors. If you want to give it a name like I did, go for it. It's kind of fun. But just move and allow your cycle to go at your pace, all right? You are not off track. You are building sustainability. And I would love to know if you have your own anchors or what you're going through. And yeah, just anything else that works for you. The AMA box is always open. I love to hear from you. And those are our questions for today. So did any of these hit? Are you seeing your business in a new light? Did something land or that kind of made you pause? Tell me, DM me on Instagram, drop your AMA, or just, you know, make that one micro move, right? So until next time, be well and have some fun. Thank you for joining me here on Digital Business Your Way. Be sure to check out the show notes for all the links mentioned today. And while you're there, I'd love for you to rate and review the show. And if you have a topic or question you want me to answer, I want to hear it. Head to tracypatterson.com/AMA and ask me anything about business. If I don't know it, I'll bring it up with one of my guests. And until next week, be well and have some fun.